Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dakshayani passionately talks to me about the profound significance of all performing art forms and the transformative power of practice. She emphasizes on how practice is not merely about mastering technical skills, but it's also about cultivating discipline, resilience, and creative intuition. She also mentions the importance of every child being able to engage in some sort of art form. To me, the conversation was a compelling reminder of the profound impact that performing arts and diligent practice can have on individuals and on society as a whole. And also that the practice fosters personal growth and self-discovery. It's not just about reaching a destination, but it's also about embarking on a journey of continuous improvement and exploration. And I feel that this, to me, was a very, very fascinating conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. So listen on. Melting Pot, a global podcast series hosted by Pyle, connects guests who have inspiring stories and reaches out to a multicultural audience over 52 countries. Guests are diverse, such as celebrities, entrepreneurs, travelers, and many more who've had a turning point in their lives and moved over to a holistic lifestyle. Follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, social media. Hi, everyone. Today I am in conversation with Dakshayani. And Dakshayani is the co-founder of the BetHug Foundation. And I just want to tell you a little bit about the BetHug Foundation. And of course, Dakshayani is going to say a lot more. But it was started as a weekend activity in 2015. And since then, it has flourished into a growing nonprofit organization, which currently works with over 3,200 children and is also associated with over 35 schools and communities within two cities of India. And it's interesting to know that it's an inclusive organization where they believe that all Indian art forms are practicing art forms. And the practice and sadhana, as practice is known in Hindi, helps us become more sensitive human beings, and it creates a very strong foundation for a meaningful life. I think that's so incredible, and I am so happy to be talking to you today. Thank you for joining me in this conversation on Melting Pot.
It's a real pleasure to join, and it's always thrilling to have conversations about what you love the most. So I'm most happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. Okay, so let's start with a little bit on your personal background, and then we can just get more involved in the mission and the vision of the foundation.
So I come from a small town, Ratnagiri, in the coastal part on the western coast of India. And we've been a family of middle class exposure and possibilities in that sense. So growing up, nowhere did we have ever this in our minds that we would go to do something very different or very unique in our lives. But what was definitely there in the family was a seed of looking beyond the self. So, and I thank my family for doing that for me, that even in your limited resources and what you've gained physically, you still want to share. And I think that kind of value came to me in some sense from my family. So I'm very grateful to my family for that. And it's It was fun growing up in a place like Ratnagiri, actually, because it's a scenic place. It's very beautiful, and we had good education. And growing up, we had a lot of music around us. Even though I think financially we were not very stable, what was there was a lot of community support and a lot of joy that existed around, which didn't make you feel that you were less in some sense. And I think that built a strong foundation for me to dream about doing whatever I wanted to do. And then I came to Pune, because Pune was the place where you could actually achieve some of those things that you had dreamt of, like a good college education or even exposure to better people, ideas, new things happening around. So I definitely wanted to come to a place like that where I could test myself. And that's how Pune happened. And I'm in Pune for a very long time now. It's given me great exposure. I started studying law. And then I moved on to study master's in education. So all of that could happen because I came to Pune and because there was a family that strongly believed in supporting what I was trying to do. And also there were friends and people around me who constantly supported in this journey. So it's been fascinating to come from a small place, to come to a city like Pune and to grow here. And it's been wonderful.
Okay, that's interesting. So how did Bedhug Foundation, which clearly is, as I have read up, a foundation that focuses and believes that Indian classical art forms should not be known as or should not be kept aside and said that, oh, these are, this is like a dying art form. So how did you actually come about creating this vision of bringing the Indian classical music to so many children and schools and keeping it alive? How did that actually come about?
So it actually happened because of a pilot project. So by the time I was 25, I was already married. We married Mandar, who's also the co-founder of the organization. And we were, I think, at that point where it seemed that we had things that we wanted. We had good jobs. We had good education so far. And we were doing well in that sense. You had a career trajectory mapped for you. If you know you were from so-and-so college, you have a placement here. This is where you go from here in another 5 years. So all of that existed for both of us. But it just so happened, I think at some point in time, we felt that, okay, now when you have some of these things mapped for you, what do you do? I think the question around your purpose somewhere then starts coming in when your needs are fulfilled in that sense. And that came to both of us. And at that point in time, I was also working with another foundation where I was trying to set up their CSR work. And I was working a lot with community children, community centers. And that's when we thought that a lot of the times, children that we work with did not have access to music. And by good music which nourishes you, not music which is only DJ, which is very loud and which causes more distress than relieves stress. So this is something that we saw in all the schools or all the communities that I was working in particularly, I saw that. And we felt that growing up, both of us in some sense, we realized that we had paucity of resources at times. But what we had a lot was the culture, was the connect with our roots, was the access to music and dance, which we had quite a bit. And we felt that probably in how we have grown as individuals, these things had some role to play. But we also had questions around, of course, you know, whether children would like it, whether should we go and do something like that? How will it be received and all of that? So we said, let's design a pilot project and let's see how it goes. We have no idea how children are going to respond to it.
So that was your weekend. That was the one weekend in 2015.
Yes.
Okay.
That's how it started. And we kept on going and going and we did it for a long, I mean, almost a year in a way. We kept doing that because there was just so much positive response from children. And then we said that, okay, this work needs to be done. There's something more here. I think we need to formally probably look at this as a systemic solution to some of the challenges that we see around us. So that's how BITEC started.
Okay. So what do you think is the significance of Indian art forms as practicing art forms in our current society?
That's a really nice question, and I was waiting for that actually. Because it's really one of my favorites to talk about how performing arts, and they're called performing arts, how performing arts are as much about performing as they are about practicing. So we cannot forget this balance that comes with performing art forms. I think, unfortunately, because of course the performing side of it is more commonly observed by public, it's only that aspect that is promoted much more than the practicing aspect of it. So that is one that any art form for that matter actually has both sides. One sides of creating a product in some sense, and the other side of really practicing your tools to actually get to that product. So both these are very critical, is what we feel. And especially the practicing aspect of all these performing art forms or traditional art forms, I think in the current society that we live in are very critical when it comes to, in popular terms, when it comes to the well-being of human beings. I think the sense of actually doing something, of putting effort, of engaging in a discipline, and that physical engagement, changing the way you breathe, changing the way you then think, changing the way you perceive things around you. I think there's a lot of connection between that. And that's why we all know that these days there's sound therapy, and there are things that are coming into as industries in that sense are getting established, which are all connected to arts in some sense or the other. Even in dance, there are things coming like that, like dance movement therapy and stuff, which so I deeply feel that the practicing aspect of all these art forms, all traditional art forms, have a huge potential to support human beings in the journey of being a human. And that's why they're very critical, and they're most critical, I feel, in the century that we are living in.
That's true. So you think that it helps foster empathy, understanding, a sense of community, because now you've got over 3,000 children, you've got so many schools that you engage with. So art is basically helping you build and develop, create and foster a community, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When especially it's well-known research that when we sing together, we all bond better. We bond as community. So things like that, I think when we start doing things with children, it actually helps them form these connections with their peers and with the larger community around. We also work with local musicians. So that's another important aspect where we bring in local music, local musicians, and they feel better connection with the community in some sense.
So, how do you think, and clearly you have decided to start young, so involve the children and go to that level to bring them together through this music. So, why did you do that? Why do you think it's important for children, young children, because today, the young children know music very different to what you are trying to do through Better Foundation, right? So, how did they actually get encouraged to become a part of your foundation and try and learn and understanding the more Indian traditional art forms?
Yeah. I think one reason to work with children was that we wanted to start young because we wanted to start working with highly impressionable minds. Because we also felt that the kind of resources that we had, especially at the time when we started, we felt that the best investment would be in children. So it was really that point of view in one sense. Another thing was that also when we start young, we realize that children have less biases in that sense. I think as we all grow, we start gravitating towards specific choices in some sense, because of course we've developed them through our experiences in the past. So we felt that if we start young, what will happen is that we will be able to work with a clean slate in some sense. So that's another reason. And that's exactly how young children respond to music. They do not necessarily have a preference. Their natural curiosity is ignited in that sense. They're very curious about the form that you're presenting to them. And they're really looking at it with open eyes. And that's been our experience through all our engagements with children. I recall this very often when you ask children what part of the music did they like the most. Like in usually in a Hindustani classical recital or an instrumental recital, you will have something called as an alap. Then you will have the bandish in that sense, which will be slow-paced or medium-based, and then you will have a fast-paced composition. That's usually the format. So when we do concerts for children, when we begin, we start with concerts, and invariably children many times say that they like the slow section better than the fast section.
So surprising. That is so surprising. And
So,
why do you think that is? But why do you think that is?
I feel that sometimes we've not presented children with an opportunity to truly experience the spectrum of experiences that music can provide. I think social media, be it or television or radio or even popular music that's being played, that only provides children with a limited spectrum of experiences, sonically as well. And when young children listen to these experiences, they are, as I was saying, that they are completely clean slates. So they are very fascinated by the aspect that something can be that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Slow.
So when you say young children, what is your target group?
So we work with children age 9 and above in that sense. Yeah. But we prefer to work with 9 to 11, 9 to 12. So.
Okay, because that's the formative time. Okay. So some of the, you mentioned concerts, you mentioned Indian classical music. So can you just elaborate a little bit more on what the different art forms that you focus on as a part of Bertha Foundation? It's more Indian classical music. It's, do you also teach, do you have teachers who come in and help them learn different instruments? What exactly is the process?
Yeah. So our project is called the APT project, Anubhav, Parichay, and Talim.
Can
So,
you also just translate it for listeners who
yeah.
don't understand it? Yeah.
Anubhav is for experience. Parichay is loosely translates as introduction. And Talim is basically training. So our program has these three layers. So not all children go to the stage of Talim, because not everybody may be interested in really learning these art forms. And we want to acknowledge that and accept that not everybody would want to learn it. But there are many who would want to be introduced to these art forms or would even want to listen or experience these art forms. We cannot take that away from children as well. So we have Anubhav and Parichay, which do that through concerts and workshops. And then we have Talim for children who want to learn these art forms. And invariably what happens is we basically work with Gayan, Vadan, Nritya, which means vocal music, instrumental music, as well as dance forms. As understood in Indian way of thinking, what Sangeet is Gayan, Vadan, Nritya. Dance is also actually interesting when how Indian traditions define music. So we work with these three categories broadly. And within that, we work with Hindustani classical, we work with Carnatic classical, Dhrupad, also a lot of other the folk vocal forms. Then we also in instruments they're basically bansuri, sitar, santur, sarod, even percussion instruments like pakhwaj, mridang, tabla. And in dance forms in Pune, what we have available is Kathak, Bharatnatyam, Odissi. So we work with these forms. And any artist who also, we also have an application process. So if there's any artist who wants to work with us, then there's an application process for that. So we do that. But there's a broad spectrum actually in that sense, in terms of exposure that we provide to children. Yeah. So in Anubhav and Parichay, all of that sort of is done.
Okay. And typically, how long have you seen the students continuing to be a part of your foundation?
A minimum of 3 years for sure, because that's how we usually even engage with the space. Like the conversation is around how do we consistently support this immersion in art forms? Because that's another thing that we have realized as we started our work, is that these one-off engagements, you know, at times some people, some schools, spaces call us for, say, just one concert a year or something like that. What we have seen is that those engagements don't create an impression, a lasting impression.
Yeah.
That lasting impression comes when we go there every month. So we like to do it in that sense. And minimum of 3 years is what we see. Yeah.
Okay. It's so important to preserve the art form, right? So is there any kind of long-term goal that you may have to be able to see that there has actually been an impact? So you must have some kind of a goal in mind in terms of the future.
Yeah, I think the goal that we really feel, it's a dream in that sense. The dream is that every child should have access to an art form, and it will continue to be a part of their life. Not everybody needs to be a professional in that sense, I think. But it's such a fantastic tool to go deep within oneself. So we feel that every child should have the opportunity to engage in some form of art. So that's really the dream. And that will hopefully also build audiences for the performers who are there out there. So that's another aspect of our work that we tell ourselves, that we're not building performers, but we're definitely creating audiences for the future to come. And that's how these arts will stay strong and they'll be supported.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. Because the more you create this kind of awareness through performances, and the more audiences you attract, clearly there is like a recall value to it. And then you never know from the audiences how many people get interested and want to know more and understand more. Because music is, and again, it's like I understand when you say that dance and music is one and the same thing, right? It's an art form. And I think music is clearly going, if you are able to understand it, it goes deeper into your soul. And it's amazing for therapy as well. So at the moment, you are, as I said in the introduction, you are based in two cities, or you're focused in two cities within one state, right, of Maharashtra. What next? Are you planning to take the same model to other parts of the country as well? Or you think that will dilute the impact?
So for now, and for what the strengths of the organization are, I think we are trying to concentrate more in Maharashtra. Because yes, as you said, I think if we do feel that we may expend a lot of energy if we go far out there, and there's huge potential in where we are also. And there are, on both ends in that sense, there are lots of artists here as well. And there are many schools and children who need that kind of access. So we are definitely going to focus on where we are right now. But what we are looking at as the next way to expand the work in some sense is looking at cluster level associations. So we are trying to be a little more strategic about the schools that we work with. And we're trying to see if this can be more block level or cluster level development, in also in support, or in trying to see if the government can also take this on as an allied program or something like that to see if there can be local participation. So we're trying to be a little more strategic about it and go in clusters and try and see if we can convince everybody in the ecosystem to make sure that these programs reach children.
Yeah, which is good. And I think the fact that you're trying to not just revive the Indian art forms, the old Indian classical music and dance forms, is its heritage, its culture. And if you can, governments or whoever, individuals who believe that it's important to be able to preserve it, I think should definitely want to get involved. So that I was going to ask you, if people want to reach out to you after having heard the conversation that I've had with you, how can they get involved, or how can they contribute to the efforts of your, especially your, as you mentioned earlier, your APT project?
Yeah, I think one of the best ways to support an organization is, of course, funds. That's one thing that's there always. And one can reach out to us, of course, through our social channels, or even if there's a possibility of sharing our email IDs, then of course people can write to us. That's one way of doing it. But I think another way of doing it, and which we like to share the most, is that if they could, in whatever capacity possible, think of adopting a school or adopting a space, because we feel that connection is very important for us. And so adopting it not only from the financial point of view, but also from, if you have artists who you want to recommend to us, if you have a community of people in Pune who are involved in the arts and you want us to connect with them, because I think these networks are very important and we're all working in the same field. If you feel that any of these networks are going to be useful, making those connections, I think that's going to be hugely helpful. Of course, there are a lot of chances for people to volunteer. For remote volunteers, of course, there are limited opportunities in that sense. But of course, there's a lot of work that needs to happen on data collection, designing, and stuff like that. So that's there. But otherwise, if somebody's in Pune, we're most happy to have you as a volunteer. So yeah, there are quite a few opportunities, and we are happy to stay in touch with anybody who'd like to reach out to us.
And as a volunteer, what would someone have to be doing, and what would they be involved in within the foundation?
So there are different domains in which one can volunteer. I think one huge piece is around communication, because there's a lot that keeps happening. So writing is a lot in that sense. So the lots of events that happen, there are a lot of feedbacks that come in, there are responses, they all need to be put together in various different forms for different platforms. So a lot of that work is there in terms of communication. We are also looking at people who can be associates in actually leading some of these programs. We have an internship program, we have a volunteer program, and there is a lot of work, even logistical work, communication work, again, related to these programs. So that's another place where somebody can help us. There's another place actually where we're looking at people who can help us screen the data that we've already received and make sense of that data. So if there's somebody with that kind of skill, we are looking for people like that. Always looking for people like that, because there's always something that you see differently in the same set of data as when you have different people looking at it.
Yeah.
So that's another
different. Perspectives are different. And then you know, you may pick up something that you think it to be in a certain way, but someone else has a different viewpoint of it. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, so it seems like there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah. There's a lot in terms of research as well, actually. That's another thing that where we would like people to keep looking at, basically research that's related to music and its impact, and so that we constantly have some additions to our story as well. I think that's important. Whatever is updated, we keep knowing about that. All the team members do that, but it's important that we constantly keep ourselves abreast with those kinds of things. So research is another sort of big piece.
Aspect. Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I think it's very unique what you're doing. And I like the name BetHuck, because if you could translate it to the non-Hindi speaking people across the globe. And why did you come up with the name BetHuck?
Baithak simply means that seating posture in that sense, colloquially translated. But baithak, the word also has a couple of other meanings in slightly different contexts. For instance, in music, what it means is that to have a strong foundation. So we felt that the kind of work that we were trying to do or are trying to do, it fit well with the word baithak, where you are actually building foundations. You're building strong foundations for a healthy life. So that's how it felt that would be the right name.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Yeah. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking to you. And I think what you're doing, as I mentioned earlier, is absolutely incredible and worthy of sharing with as many people as I possibly can through my platform. And I really appreciate how you're empowering the younger generation to be able to understand the beauty of music and what kind of an impact it can have. That's one. And two, also to not forget that the Indian culture is just so rich, and one huge aspect of it is music. And the fact that traditional Indian music, dance can easily be not forgotten, but can easily be a back burner because there's so much else. And today the mind is just constantly working because there's so much information and there's just so much of noise. And if there can be something that is something we've inherited as a part of the culture, I think, and something that can continue to help have conversations, I think it's incredible. So thank you once again. And I am hoping that you go from strength to strength. And of course, I want to say from my end as well, anyone listening in who would like to be involved in any form of volunteering or internship or research or whatever, please do reach out to the Baithak Foundation. And I'm sure they'll be happy to take in as many people, because it's also strength matters, right? Because there's only that much that you as a small team can do. So thank you. I'm so happy that I found you. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
For more weekly conversations, do listen to Melting Pot on Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts. Follow us on YouTube and on Instagram at Podcast Melting Pot. So until the next episode, this is Payal signing off.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.